You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Each year, Ofcom deals with thousands of complaints from viewers and listeners about programmes they've seen and heard on TV and radio. As the UK's broadcast regulator, we can consider complaints about programmes transmitted by all broadcasters licensed in the UK, as well as the BBC and S4C. However, we cannot consider complaints about accuracy and impartiality in BBC TV and radio programmes. These complaints have to be dealt with by the BBC.
That was taken from the YouTube page of Ofcom, the United Kingdom's broadcasting regulator. So as you heard, they can't do the BBC, but they are responsible for all other news shows, including that of RT, an international news channel financed by the Russian government. Earlier this year, someone or several people later complained about their coverage of the Sergei Skripal poisoning case, which is now being investigated by Ofcom. This hasn't deterred them, apparently, as they continue to produce news pieces which question the British government's official narrative.
There was no trial, no discussion, no evidence, no proof. There was only judgment and punishment.
It is highly likely that Russia was responsible. We do hold Russia culpable.
Culpable for the attempted murder.
More than 100 Russian diplomats were expelled by Britain and its allies. They were told to pack and leave. Russia replied in kind, tit for tat. Moscow wasn't asked to defend itself. It was told only to confess.
We're all confident about the identity of the culprit, and the only question is whether he will first confess.
The press led the mob. Pundits marched forward, proclaiming Russia's culpability and guilt. They needed no proof. What they wanted was fear, ratings. They said the government had all the proof it needed.
Are you ready to point the finger of blame, Foreign Secretary?
Sir, is there now certainly a Russian connection? Is the government going to accuse Russia?
The poisoning of Sergei Skripal is not an isolated case, but the latest in a pattern of reckless behaviour by the Russian state.
The Russians.
The Russians are Russian.
Russia.
Russia.
Russian.
Russian denial.
I'm afraid the evidence is overwhelming that it is Russia.
The UK Foreign Office tweeted that the Novichok nerve agent used in the attack on Sergei Skripal and his daughter came from Russia. And then it all went south.
We have not verified the precise source.
You have not been able to establish at Porton Down that this was made in Russia.
As I said, it's our job to provide, you know, the scientific evidence that identifies what the particular nerve agent is.
So to be clear, you're not able at Porton Down to say where it is from?
We haven't yet been able to do that.
Britain's top chemical lab said that they had no idea where the nerve agent came from, in direct contradiction to Boris Johnson's claims. Claims that he used to convince his allies to boot out Russian diplomats.
That was Novichok, Behind Nerve Agent from RT, mainly focusing on a misunderstanding Boris Johnson had about the origin of the nerve agent in question.
Mm.
So this was... are you laughing there, Lachlan?
Keep on going.
All right. So this was about this lab, Porton Downs, the Foreign Office, which Boris Johnson is the head of, said that they had confirmed that the agent had come from Russia, when more that they were saying that they'd confirmed it was the nerve agent in general, which itself was originally produced in the Soviet Union.
Right. Bit of a distinction there.
Yeah, and the Foreign Office said it was a misunderstanding, but you can see RT is more trying to present it as, like, this is part of a wider sort of smear campaign.
If you were to step out of your neutral corner for 1 second, what do you think?
You know, I cannot do that.
But, you know, hypothetically.
Don't.
What do you reckon, Ben Jemima? You reckon the Russians did it?
Well, that's not really the point of that.
Well, okay.
It's more about, I guess, was this a misunderstanding? Probably what happened is the Boris Johnson or whoever at the Foreign Office didn't really understand the distinction and just rushed with it and took it. And then RT managed to pick that up and use it to present their argument. Anyway, for contrast, actually, sorry, just reading my script, I wrote, well, it was quite funny about the RT thing, is it was quite sort of meme-based. Like, at one point, they had, like, keep calm and blame Russia.
Love a government, trying to get their millennial audience involved.
Yeah. So, anyway, in contrast, we have a much more formal clip from the English equivalent of RT, the British Broadcasting Corporation, or BBC, as it's always known. And they interviewed someone who claimed
to... Google that.
Talking over me there.
The C stood for.
Well, it could be like commission or something else. Company. Anyway, they interviewed someone who claimed to have intimate knowledge of Russian chemical warfare.
Vladimir Uglyev says he created the Novichok that was later used against the Skripals. It's been identified in Russia by the code A234. How certain are you that the substance which you synthesized is the one that poisoned the Skripals?
I have no doubt that it was A234 that poisoned them. Judging by how pure the test sample is, this may well have been a batch I made with my own hands. It has a long shelf life, virtually no expiry date.
The nerve agents were developed and tested in southern Russia. One day, Vladimir Uglyev was involved in an accident there.
My right hand got covered in nerve agent. I put it in hydrochloric acid straight away, then washed it with a special alkali solution with hydrogen peroxide. You could say the Skripals and I were baptized with the same Novichok.
As for the poisoning in Salisbury, the scientist is convinced his country was behind the attack.
You'll never prove it, unless you find the actual test tube that contained the poison. But the logic of events suggests that this was Russia, and so did the actions of our leaders. They were quick to shout, "We didn't do it," just like a thief who points the finger at someone else.
Yes, that was an interview by the BBC's Moscow correspondent and Vladimir Uglyev. And actually, news is just coming in now that guy has been hit by a car
breaking
in Russia.
News.
I don't know how breaking it is earlier this week.
Breaking it now.
I only just found it out.
Certainly bone-breaking news.
Indeed. Too soon.
Probably.
But the guy, he says he thinks it's just another sort of 70-year-old resident of the village he lives in, and that he thinks it's an accident, but still it's a bit,
it's a bit of a coincidence.
Cold War back again, people getting hit by cars.
Yeah. Is that our analysis?
I think it is. Do you want to say anything?
I think, I just think it's... I think it's interesting the way the two are treated.
What two?
Well, RT and BBC.
All right,
Because they're both fully funded by the state, aren't they?
I believe so.
But the BBC certainly gets a lot less...
I think the BBC advertises and something.
No. the TV license pays for it. But I don't know. I feel people kind of see the BBC as not having this bias at all. I mean, really.
Well, I think the idea is that the BBC is managed by like a trust, and that there is also...
But they still certainly have to cave to political pressure.
But that they also work for a government which is actually democratic, unlike in Russia, and that has like standards.
Fear. But
because just the BBC, their political editor got censured, Laura Hinsberg, for misinterpreting the leader of the opposition. Mm. So if it was just the mouthpiece of the British government, then...
But you know who is the mouthpiece for no one?
The Wire.
The Wire. Hey.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.